Welcome back to Sports Byline USA, coast to coast, border to border, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our real pleasure to welcome one of the best actors of our generation, Academy Award-winning actor Russell Crowe. But we're here to talk about his singing and musical prowess, because he's going to be having his first U.S. tour in 12 years. It's called the Indoor Garden Party. He's going to be performing with the Gentleman Barber and also Lorraine O'Reilly. It's coming in August. We're going to have New York City, L.A., Tulsa, Austin, New Orleans, and then going to Europe as well. Russell, welcome to the show. And this really was your first love when you were first getting, quote unquote, famous. You were a singer, right?
Yeah, well, you know, on this sort of very long journey now that started when I was a teenager, this is in a creative life that I've led, the first thing that I did was step on a stage and sing a song. Yeah.
Yeah, we're about the same age. I'd like to say I remember the Russ LaRock days, but that was mostly in Australia and New Zealand, right?
That was only New Zealand. So I had a sort of strange childhood when I was born in New Zealand, but I moved to Australia when I was four. And then my family moved back to New Zealand when I was 14. And then so between 14 and 21, I lived in Australia and straight out of high school, while I was in the high school, actually, I started playing in clubs and in pubs and touring. And then that eventually led to some musical theater experiences. And it was the musical theater experience that made me leave New Zealand and go back to Australia. But I left behind everything that I'd done up to that age. I just left it behind and started fresh at the age of 21 using my own name, you know.
Right. And I know you are of Maori heritage, so you're a Kiwi, but you're also Australian. I mean, it's I guess more Kiwi than Australian, or is it the same? What would you say?
Man, you don't have to go very far back in my family's history, and it just starts spreading out like crazy. So there's a whole bunch of Scottish, there's Welsh, there's Scandinavian, Norwegian in particular. There's Maori, as you mentioned. And just recently we found an Italian line as well. So, and in there too, you know, because I always thought you're New Zealand born and, you know, from New Zealand family and stuff. And even though we lived in Australia, I was still a New Zealander. But just recently found out a couple of generations back on my mother's father's side, there's also Australians in there as well. So it's, it's a bit of a mixture.
I know that your grandfather Stan in World War II, he got an MBE with the Anzacs, and my great uncle fought with the Wild West Division, the 91st U.S. troops through North Africa and Sicily and Italy, and he said that the Anzac troops, there was something. He said they almost had like leather for skin. He said they were the toughest SOBs he ever met. That was his impression of the Anzac troops.
Well, a lot of those guys, you know, are coming off, you know, farmland and stuff where, you know, they're trying to make a living out of, you know, red dirt. And, you know, so they brought that kind of physical fitness and stuff with them, you know, I think. But my grandfather specifically was a cameraman, and he was with the New Zealand Film Unit, and he went to every theater of war that Australian and New Zealand troops were fighting in. And including going all the way to Japan at the end of the war, and being on those that boat where they signed the treaty, you know, photographing it, and then he toured the world with Montgomery as a photographer as well, post war. But when you say ANZAC, you know, which stands for the Australian New Zealand Army Corps, that's specifically a First World War reference. We call pretty much. You know, we call our soldiers Anzacs to this day, but that name is specific to the First World War, not the Second World War necessarily.
Gotcha. That's more like Gallipoli, not to bring up a
exact
memory, but right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Exactly.
Your listeners might not know what the MBE is. So the MBE is a thing called a member of the British Empire. So if you know, you know, England's a monarchy and, it, you know, it has knighthoods and stuff. So on that list of awards, you know, a few down from a knighthood is the MBE. So that's services to the country, you know, based on the stuff that he shot. You can still see some of his work online. There's a particular film that I believe is called Easter Action on Bougainville. And that was one of the pieces that he shot, which he was cited for. But, you know, you got to think about what his job was, right, as an official photographer. So he's shooting battlefields. He's shooting, you know, troops in preparation. He's shooting the battles themselves. But one of the worst parts of his job is to shoot the aftermath. And I think that affected him greatly through the rest of his days, you know, having to go through where a battle has been and make a visual record of what was left behind. So not pretty.
No, but I can hear your pride in your voice talking about him, which is really cool. And speaking of World War II, is it in the can or are you working on something? You're going to be playing Hermann Göring at Nuremberg?
Yeah, I finished that. The shoot's now wrapped, actually. Yeah, that's what I did with the beginning of my year, was get into that mindset for a few months. Yeah, so I played Göring. The movie's called Nuremberg, stars Rami Malek and Michael Shannon, Richard E. Grant, Leo Woodall, Mark O'Brien. It's a really, really good cast. And we shot in Budapest in Hungary.
Amazing. A couple more questions for Russell Crowe, the indoor garden party with the Gentleman Barber coming to the U.S. in August. And there are two new songs on Apple and Spotify to go along with Let Your Light Shine, Time and Kindness, Stronger Than Stone, and three more songs are coming out Friday. The rest of the album, Pros and Cons, will be out on June 7th. That's P-R-O-S-E, Pros and Cons. It's funny, when I think about all your great roles, obviously Maximus and Captain Aubrey, a friend of mine told me, she said her favorite movie ever was The Sum of Us. And I had to think, I don't remember that one. But she said that still affects her to this day. Do you get that sometimes? People sort of bring up maybe a film that didn't get as much acclaim and that really affected them?
Yeah, it did. It happens quite regularly. I have whatever reason, I'm sort of pretty lucky. I've had a long career, it doesn't freak people out to see me anymore, because I think I've been in their lives for such a long time, 34, 35 years of making feature films around the world. And, you do tend to have some really warm conversations where, particularly if somebody's watched something with their dad or their mom, and that was a point, a thing that they watch every holidays or whatever. It comes up a lot with Master and Commander. And it's funny, because I would have thought Master and Commander would be an older crowd, but it's actually 30-somethings that talk to me about Master and Commander. But, Cinderella Man is another one that people talk about as something that they, watched in a family group or whatever, they had emotional connection to. There's another one called A Good Year, which is kind of like, it's a rom-com, but it's from a male perspective, So it doesn't tick any of the boxes a rom-com is supposed to. But that's me and Ridley Scott, who directed Gladiator. That's the movie we decided to do together after Gladiator. So we're kind of like taking the Mickey out of ourselves, if you want. The battle sequence in A Good Year is a tennis match, so, for example. And it's about wealth and art and wine and making choices about your life when you're still young enough to really enjoy the choices that you make to give yourself some freedom. So I think if you're in the right mindset for it, if you're in your 40s or whatever and you haven't going through those kind of questions of what am I doing in my life or whatever, it's the sort of movie that can really grab you, But, I'm very lucky in that regard, man. I've got dozens of different titles that people bring up at different points. And like you say, some movies everybody knows and they're really big at the time. Some only find a smaller audience, but grow over time, There's a movie I did called The Next 3 Days. We did it, shot it in 2009, but, just a couple of years ago, it was top 10 on Netflix, worldwide, and it's just that people hadn't seen that particular one, but it's a really quality movie. It's got a great cast. It's directed by Paul Haggis, who directed The Crash, and, it's just really got something going for it. So, yeah, I'm lucky in that regard, man.
Next 3 Days is incredible. Elizabeth Banks, I remember she says, she basically lies and says, yeah, I'm guilty, and to help her family. But you mentioned A Good Year. I saw that in the theaters. I love Marion Cotillard and the scenery and that and everything. I really like that movie, too.
Yeah, cool, man.
That's good stuff. All right. As I said, 12 years since the last tour. So what was the impetus behind getting back on the road here in the U.S., Russell?
Well, just because we hadn't done it, man. You know, and we did the big tour of Australia last year, and then we ended up at the end of that tour, we played in Malta. We played four concerts in Italy, and then we played in Karlovy Vary in the Czech Republic. And then it came up again that Italy wanted us to go back. So this year we're doing 14 concerts in Italy. But we also got invited to play at Glastonbury, the festival in England. So we play at Glastonbury, we play in Dublin, we play in Warrington, we play London, Leeds, Inverness. And through all these conversations, then we just got a call from a booking agent in America that said, you know, all these people are calling up saying, well, you're doing all these other gigs, why not come to America? So, you know, we curated it a little bit. You know, we start in New Jersey, I think, then we play in New York, then we scoot over to Los Angeles, then we go into the middle of the country to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then we go to Old Stomping Ground in Austin, Texas, and then after Austin, Texas, we finish the entire tour at Tipitina's in New Orleans, so that's going to be a fantastic night. But yeah, it just felt like the right time, man. It's like it's been so long, and it was never intentional to leave it this long. But while we're on the road this year, we thought we'll just nip in and do half a dozen shows. It actually came about because we were going to be doing some shows in Brazil, but as it's ended up, we're not going to go to Brazil, so we're going to finish in New Orleans. So it's going to be great, man. I haven't been to America for so long. It's just going to be really interesting. I'm wondering if you're a services radio, did you get to see a movie called Land of Bad?
Land of Bad.
Yeah, you should check it out, man. Liam Hemsworth is in the lead role, but it's about like super high-tech modern-day soldiering. And, you know, where a JTAC is going into the field in contact with a drone operator, you know, so he's got the ability to bring, you know, hell to wherever he wants to place it, you know, without having to wait for airplanes and what have you. You know, he's kind of being tagged the whole way by a drone operator who's sitting back in an Air Force base in America while he's in the Philippines, you know, so... it's a pretty interesting film. We made that a couple of years ago, and I think it came out in America last year and did pretty well. You should check it out.
I'm just looking at it. Yeah, it came out this February. Yeah, I'm going to have to check that out. One more question for you before we go. Speaking of Italy, are you still the honorary mayor of Rome? How does that work?
No. What I am is the ambasciatore di Rome nel mondo. So, ambasciatore di Roma nel mondo. So, I'm the ambassador for Rome in the world.
Great. What does that get you a free dinner somewhere?
Well, I was hoping for a palace, but it hasn't turned up yet. But what it basically is, man, is it's just a thank you from the city of Rome and you know from Italy in general, really, because everywhere I go, people ask me about Italy, and I always speak positively and from the heart because I just love the place so much. And it's so crazy because this has been going on for 20 years or more, this relationship between me and the Italian people. To find out just last year, I specifically have Italian blood. It's just crazy. That was like... You know, I mean, I'd always had a sense of something, but I didn't have the actual, you know, facts and names and places to back it up until very recently. So,
very cool. As I mentioned, check it out on Apple and Spotify. Time of Kindness, Stronger Than Stone, Let Your Light Shine. This Friday, we got three more. Save Me, Don't Be So Unkind, Southampton. The rest of the album will come out, Pros and Con, P-R-O-S-E, on June 7th. The Indoor Garden Party, that'll be with the Gentleman Barber and Lorraine O'Reilly and our guest, Russell Crowe. Russell, thanks so much for coming on, man. We're obviously big fans, and hopefully we'll catch up down the road.
Thanks very much, man. Look after yourself. Stay safe.
Thank you. I'm Rick Tittle. We will take a quick break, and we will come on back right here on Sports Byline USA.
Time keeps rolling on. Here's that sing along. Time keeps rolling on. Kindness is the answer. Kindness is the question. Kindness is the reason we do.